Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, December 16th, 2020.
Oh my God, guys, we did it! Bitcoin 20,000! Yay! I'm so excited. Yay. It's been so long. I mean, at least since 2017 that I was like consciously waiting for this moment, since we never quite got there. At this moment, 22,579. It not only went up, it is up a lot. 22,579, up 16% since yesterday. You know, the way I look at these is you tend to have these breakpoints where it's a mental breakpoint. So a lot of people are jumping in. They see it hits 20K and they're like, oh damn, I got to get in now. Next stop, 100K. You also have a lot of people who would have had short sells getting basically triggered. So the way, you know, if you do a short sell at some point, if you get so far out of the money on the short sell, the margin call triggers and you have to buy back all that. So what ends up happening is, in effect, you see these waves where like a minor, or in this case, a relatively minor uptick, which was like a relatively minor uptick above 20,000, suddenly turned into an incredibly major uptick because then you have a bunch of buying pressure behind it to support the short sells. So Bitcoin way up today. Ethereum also. Ethereum hit 651, up 11.5%. Everything was up across the board. Dash was up 10.5%, 105. XRP was up 22%. And we might talk about XRP. We'll probably talk about it tomorrow. There's a lot of stuff going on with it that explains that. Bitcoin Cash up 10% to 312. Even Zcash was up about 10% to 73. Even Bitcoin Cash ABC was up. So across the board, pretty remarkable day for those of us that follow these markets.
How long do you think it'll stay above 20K?
That's a super good question.
Will there be a correction?
Yeah, no, I think what will happen is we'll find a new local maximum, and then we'll see it start going back down again. So the next question for us is what's the local maximum here? And we've seen a lot. There's been a lot of speculation on this. We saw people saying yesterday that the local maximum was going to be 23. We saw people saying it was going to be 35. There's the Winklevi still think it's going to be 500,000. So I think somewhere in the 20, 25 to 30 range is probably pretty reasonable. Uh-huh. I think the next big psychological wall is going to be 30K. So I'd be pretty surprised if we beat 20K and then immediately wanted to beat 30K. But that also tends to be how it is. Like with crypto, it almost is always like there's like this unstoppable, there's this like unbreachable wall that when it goes down, suddenly like the floodgates open and then suddenly it's at 100K. So I don't know, something like that.
All right. Well, thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for crypto and DeFi, as well as gain loss reporting, crypto invoicing, and a whole lot more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So first, cryptocurrency exchange OKCoin is allowing users to invest in DeFi applications through its site without paying gas fees.
Yeah, so this is super interesting. You know, obviously all of the exchanges are under an extreme amount of pressure right now. I actually have been using way more for Ethereum-based coins. I've been using almost no exchanges. For Bitcoin, I still tend to use exchanges because it's really the only option, you know, and I guess I could buy wrapped BTC, but that's not really my preference. Like I'd rather own like pure Bitcoin and move it off. So for everything else, you know, I'm moving away from exchanges. They're, you know, the DEXs are cheaper. Some of these aggregators are awesome. Some of these aggregators that will select the cheapest route for your trades are really, really good. So the exchanges are very understandably freaked out. Exchanges have traditionally paid fees for certain things on their blockchains. So this to me is a way of it's kind of a customer lock. It's a loss leader. You know, it's selling the TVs on Black Friday for $50 so that people buy the toaster oven for $300. Like, this is, you know, you keep your money once you lock it through this. All they're allowing you to do is you basically deposit your money to OKCoin. They then, from there, you can stake it to the other coin. There, you are not custodying it. It is not your custody. They are tracking how much. They are doing a big pool of everyone who wants to deposit that token are all getting together doing one. They're doing one big deposit, and then you are basically trusting them to keep track of your slice of that. So obviously there's already some issues with that in centralization world. So, but they're paying the fees, and everyone knows the fees can be very, you know, relative. I mean, right now fees for a liquidity pool, I think I saw today, like $5 was a pretty standard fee for depositing a liquidity pool. So this is a loss leader for them. So, you know, if you're comfortable with OKCoin in particular, who I would never be comfortable with at this point, but if you are comfortable with OKCoin, then this is a good way to get someone else to cover your fees. And that essentially gets you to a pretty good spot in terms of ROI. You can definitely claw back a good amount of ROI from that.
Great. Next we have, amid DeFi hacks, Nervos and Cardano are joining forces to improve smart contract security.
This is a really interesting story. It's worth everyone kind of giving it a quick read. There's two different ways that blockchains work. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but you have the Ethereum way is with accounts. Think of your account like a bank account. I put money into my bank account and then I pull money out of it, and the money is completely fungible inside of the bank account. There is no notion that I'm taking the first dollar or the last dollar that deposited. It's just a pool of dollars. You put it in, you take it out. Bitcoin actually works differently. Bitcoin is, you know, it's fungible from an ideological standpoint, but from an actual standpoint, if Amy were to send me 10 Bitcoin, when I go to send it, that there ends up being a transaction that is actually on the blockchain. That's like transaction 123 that shows my address getting those 10 Bitcoin. I then go to that address and I tell the blockchain, I am spending these 10 Bitcoin from this particular transaction, and I'm going to send this to Bob. They call that a UTXO model, where you're basically, you have to track through each one of those individually. There are security benefits to doing that. There are a large class of attacks that basically are perpetrated against smart contracts that would be avoided by using a UTXO model. Like, it basically just makes it so you have to be much more explicit about what coins you're spending, which then makes it quite a bit harder to actually hack that in a lot of ways. Now, it's not the biggest issue with smart contract security. The biggest issue is honestly having really powerful tooling, you know, better static analysis for smart contracts, better understanding of attack profiles, better ways. I mean, right now it takes an incredibly sophisticated white hat hacker to understand how a flash loan attack works. So what you do is you essentially have to just put in mechanisms that make it impossible to do flash loans. Like, that's like your only option. So which basically means you have to turn a lot of your things into like multiple transaction type operations. So, you know, this to me, I think, is kind of interesting. It's good to have better looks at the UTXO model because it's a better model for a lot of this stuff. But it also, you know, where I want to see the industry going is I want to see a lot more focus on how to actually write secure smart contracts, because until that happens and until we have static analysis that could detect a vulnerability from a flash loan, which I'm not sure we could ever have, but it's certainly possible. Until we get there, then we're going to continue to see flash loan attacks all the time. We're going to continue to see a lot of these type of attacks. So, but it's an interesting article to read.
All right, we'll tweet that out. So Silk Road's Ross Ulbricht is being considered for a pardon by Trump.
So yeah, I mean, this is super interesting. There was a great article in CNN yesterday about how it's like basically like open hunting season on pardons in the Trump White House, like so much so that they have to keep spreadsheets of everyone who's requesting pardons. So and they keep a spreadsheet of who's requesting the pardon, the individual, what they did, and then who from Trump's inner circle is endorsing the pardon. So, hey, you know, that's terrible, and the downfall of America is like directly tied to me making that statement. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, a lot of us feel pretty strongly that Ross got the book thrown at him in a very unfair way. Amy even did speak with his mom at one point at a conference. She was a really common. We would see her at all the different crypto conferences. Like, I would see her at all the different crypto conferences.
Yeah, she went to all of them.
Super sweet lady.
Such a nice lady.
And Amy did say she should go and ask Trump for a pardon.
I said that.
So I think she took your advice seriously. We'll see what happens with it. You know, there was also, for people that are interested in this, there was a podcast that recently came out called Kingpin, which actually cast a very negative light on Ross. And it really, I think it was a bit unfair to him. You know, from my understanding of the story and having known and been there when this is all was happening and knowing a lot of the actors and players, I think that it was much more of a marketplace play. And they threw the book at him. And basically the podcast kind of makes light of him as a much more sinister figure. I think it's pretty unfair, but we'll see what happens. I think all of us think that for what he actually got convicted for, the sentence was incredibly harsh, like two life sentences for basically facilitating a black market. It's just insane. So, yeah. So good luck, Ross.
Yeah, we hope so. All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Take it easy.